If we turn first of all to Philippians, page 1418, chapter 2, verse 5. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men, and having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, and that the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and granted him a name that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. And then in the second epistle to the Corinthians, page 1392, chapter 4 and verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus Lord, and ourselves your bondmen for Jesus' sake. Because it is the God who spoke, that out of darkness light should shine, who has shone in our hearts for the shining forth of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 11 of the following chapter, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. This may be the very last gospel preaching in this hall. I don't know how long this hall has stood here, but probably 80 or 90 years. And there have been thousands of gospel preachings by hundreds of different preachers. And the message hasn't changed in all that time. I was thinking of Abraham today, and I was thinking of Lot. Two persons related to each other. Abraham, perhaps the first gospel preacher of the scriptures. He was concerned that God would spare Sodom, and he prayed to God that even if there were just 50 souls, he would spare the city. I desire, you know, to have a heart like Abraham when it comes to the glad tidings, when it comes to speaking to the souls of men, because the day in which we live is so much like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it goes right down, you know, to 10 souls. And God, in his infinite love and grace, said he would spare the city for 10 souls. And then there was Lot and his family. Says that he chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. It was a good place to set up everything that was there that Lot needed. And yet, as we were having this afternoon on our reading, he became complacent. When the men of Jehovah came, the scripture records that it was though they jested. When they were warned that the city was going to be overthrown. And yet Lot knew the seriousness of the position that he'd taken. And Abraham knew the seriousness of the place that Lot had taken. And he besought God because he was thinking about Lot. He was thinking about others, no doubt, but he was thinking about Lot. And you know, every person that speaks about the Lord Jesus is concerned for the souls of men and women and children. Because the day is coming when God is going to judge this habitable earth in righteousness. Mm-hmm. You say, I don't want to hear any bad news. Can't the gospel speak to me about something that's going to be good? But I've said at the beginning that the gospel doesn't change. The message remains the same. And the first thing that is called for is repentance towards God. So if this is the last gospel preaching, is that going to be good news for you, or is it going to be bad? If your soul is resting on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be good news. If you just come here because it makes you feel good about yourself, if it makes you feel complacent as you sit and hear the story of God's love and of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's bad news. But it doesn't have to be like that. Think of the way that the Lord Jesus has come in. It says, but emptied himself. All that the Lord Jesus was as God. The scripture here says, he emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men. How wonderful, you know, that the Lord Jesus has come near to us in such a form. Think of him treading that pathway to Sychar's well. Think of him being wearied with the way that he'd come, sitting and talking to that woman about the need that she found herself in. And you know, the Lord Jesus would delight to speak to you today as to the need of your soul. Do you realize the need of your soul? It's a never dying soul. Never dying soul. I don't know whether men know the meaning of that expression. Because they like to think, you know, that after death, there's nothing else. And that's a lie of Satan. Because it says, after death, the judgment. So you have a need. Each one here has a need. And the need is that you should find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Not only that, but as your Lord, the one that you delight to own, that you've come under his authority and you're subject to him. Because it says here, having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself. What a wonderful example we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Humbling himself, becoming obedient even unto death. And that's the death of the cross. Nothing is so shameful for someone to have to be nailed to a cross. The Romans knew how to degrade men. There was no one like them. They knew exactly how to do it. And the Lord was subject to that shameful death. Death of ignominy. Death of crucifixion. Why did he do that? Why did he allow himself to hang between two malefactors? Why did God subject the Lord Jesus to the mockery, to the scourging, to the derision of men? He did it, dear hearer, because he was thinking of the need that you have. You need a saviour, and there's no one like the Lord Jesus to be a saviour. How thankful, you know, that even at that time of extremity, the Lord could speak to one of the malefactors. And he could say, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Why did he say that? Because the man turned to him in repentance. If you want this gospel to be a gospel of good news, the first thing is to turn in repentance to the Lord Jesus. And you will find a weight lifted off your shoulders, a weight lifting off your soul. Because you will realise that, you know, because of your sinnership, the Lord Jesus himself went into death to take it upon himself. He bore the sins of the whole world. Think of that, the Lord Jesus bearing in his own body the sins of the whole world. Makes you worship when you think of the movements of the Lord Jesus, that he should bear in his own body your sins and mine. What a saviour. What a Lord. God's own beloved Son. How rightly the scripture says, "Wherefore also God highly exalted him." How thankful we are that, you know, the Lord Jesus has not remained in death. Because of his perfection, because of the power that was within him as God, he burst the grave and came forth triumphant. And as coming forth out of death, he annulled him that had the power of death. Your future can be absolutely secure, whether you live or whether you die. The Lord Jesus can save you completely. Love to speak about things that are so positive. This is a gospel preaching, and it's positive. It's not bad news. It's good news for all who avail themselves of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's just look again at that scripture in Corinthians. It says, "Because it is the God who spoke, that out of darkness light should shine." Think of the Lord Jesus coming into this scene as the light. It says, "The darkness apprehended it not. Many as received him, to them gave he the right of redemption." Have you heard the message? Have you heard God's call? Oh, how wonderful it is, you know, that the light emanates from one source, emanates from the heart of God, and it's seen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a light. You know, if you're in a dark room and the light comes on, you're immediately attracted to it. You know, that's what it's like when the Lord Jesus has come into this scene. Those who looked at him, those who saw him for what he was, as the Lamb of God, were attracted to him. Speaks about those that took account of the Lord as he walked. Think of the way that the disciples could speak to one another as to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Says, we do not preach ourselves. This gospel preaching is only about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about Anyone else, it's about the one who has come in on God's behalf to speak to your soul as to your need, the need that you have as a sinner away from God. But you know, the work of Christ has brought us near. It says, the word is near thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. But if thou shouldst believe, where it says, if thou shouldst believe. How many have been that close, but their heart has been hardened? Their neck has become stiff. They've become obstinate in the way of their own self-will. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus will just speak to you. Doesn't shout, doesn't raise his voice. It's a still, small voice. And he's speaking to you in love. If you've been on a wayward course, if you've been disobedient, wicked, you expect to be hauled over the coals as we speak. You expect to be told off. You expect to face the punishment of your sins. That's not how the Lord Jesus works. He doesn't speak to you in a rough way. He speaks to you in a loving way. He speaks to you as though, as he speaks to you in this way because he loves you. It's maybe hard to understand that although, as the hymn says, you're deeply sunk in sin, the Lord doesn't alter in his appeal of love towards your soul. Just as he speaks to you, so he speaks to me in love for your soul. So you know, God has come out in the person of Christ, and the Lord Jesus speaks to us of God, the greatness of who he is. You know, God himself is love. His whole nature is love. We may not be able to grasp it sufficiently well, but you know, God is benign. He's towards all men because this is the day of grace. There's not one that is too bad for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in his death on Calvary. And you know, we read about some terrible persons in the papers. There are some terrible persons and the sin and their wickedness. And yet God is able to meet everyone through the work and the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus. How can he do it? God is righteous. Every sin has to be accounted for. Think of the way, you know, that the children of Israel had to sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. The tremendous amount of blood shedding that took place was to bring home to them the need of, on the one hand, the perfection of God, and on the other, the wickedness of sin. And God is able, because of the perfection of Jesus, to forgive every single sin. What a saviour he is. I know of no one like him. And I would present him to you as the one that you can put your faith and trust in. And so, the last verse I said, read, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Yes, these are the last days. These are the closing scenes of the testimony here. We only have to see what is going on in the East, in the Middle East, to know that God is working to bring to pass his purposes. The time frame may not be sufficiently obvious for us to understand, but rest assured, God is working. Mm. And therefore, we, knowing the terror of the Lord, persuade men that now is the acceptable time. Mm. Now is the day of salvation. Mm. May it be yours for his name's sake. Amen.